Hello, I'm Robbie. I play the speaker on Could Have Been Heroes. We are a completely independent podcast. Please consider joining us on Patreon and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at CBHPod. Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. Lorwinkle, sage of stories, tripped over an upturned tree root and stumbled to the ground. Or rather, he stumbled into a cluster of thistles, then a bramble bush, and then into the ground. He told himself for the 100th time, since his escape from the attack by the Herald on his secret home, that he was just lucky to be alive and should be grateful. This tactic, though effective, was getting significantly less so each time a hive of hornet sprites tried to make their nest in his beard, or a gigantoad swallowed him in a burst of green and sticky pink, or some other god's awful nonsense swooped down and shit on him from a great height. You do your job faithfully for 1,000 years, get a little too invested one time, and try to help. Not even directly, just with some gentle nudging. And oh well, thanks for the millennia of loyal service, but your mystical protection is gone, and you're just all on your own. So long, and thanks for all the stories, he muttered into his thistle-crusted beard. Oh, great, now the new guy is flipping narrating me. Well, take a good look, kid, this is what the gig gets you. Lorwinkle was tired and itchy from ant bites, so he didn't mean what he was saying. He knew deep down that the position of Sage of Stories was very important to... Bugger that! Bugger that! You tell the powers that they can cram their sacred duty shit up their transcendental waste... Cloaca, or whatever they have, and can keep it there, he shouted to, no one in particular. He was sleep-deprived and injured and had expended a great amount of magic to overcome the murderous creatures that had assailed his tower, so he wasn't in his right mind and certainly wasn't trying to get the new guy in fucking trouble by addressing him directly and screwing it up again. Oh, well, fuck me. Look at the new guy and his incredible subtlety. Looky here, we have a goddamn master on our hands. And why not? He's been the Sage of Stories for all of 5 fucking minutes. I'm sure he really gets it. Fine, can I... Lorwinkle looked ahead and saw that the path was clearing, the brambles becoming less dense and the way less treacherous as the Mother Moon was shining again in the sky. That's more like it, Lorwinkle said again to no one, and nobody can prove that he wasn't saying it to no one. The elder and very comely sage realized that the sky was clear and the Mother Moon was full and bright, which meant the only explanation for the sudden plunge into darkness, which had precipitated his fall, could only mean that the Mother Moon had descended down to the surface of the realms. The sage tested the air with his fingers, twitched his whiskers, and checked the wind and alignment of the stellar bodies with these sensitive tuning instruments, and noted that indeed it was time for the Mother Moon to produce a lunar offspring. These births always occurred during times of great destiny, and if what he had read in the archives below the Guild of Heroes were true, then that is exactly what the Nearlys would be drawn to. Moments of great destiny. He picked up his pace, hurrying towards where the glimmer of moonlight hung thickest over the dark wood.
Whoa. Wielding the power of the moon itself, the Nearleys have overcome Elida the Wicked and her daughters, newly transformed Glorious. In so doing, they have spared the Grimwood Coven from contamination and earned their place. During the battle, Lavaline sacrificed herself, but was saved from death by her sacred curse. Unfortunately for the Cambion, he has no such protection, and now lays dead after sealing away the Glorious known as the Entwined Daughters. The Nearleys race to save their companion from the depths by extreme and desperate measures.
Are my friends okay?
Not at all.
Not at all. We're
not.
One of them is particularly not well. And she gestures to behind her where two other very old but seemingly very strong witches are dragging on a cart to the body of the Cambion.
Bring out your dad!
Whose horns have burned off of his forehead and whose red skin is now pale white. The sacrifice required to seal the Glorious away claims another life.
It's a victory then.
Attrition will see us win against them, won't it?
Gods, I hope so.
Are you willing to put yourself at terrible risk? We have no one else who can perform the sealing. It is too early for him to be gone. The devil has burned away, but I would drag his soul back from hell.
If there's a way, then yes, absolutely.
You will put your life at terrible risk for this. A permanent death may await you where we are going.
That is my purpose.
We are going to see the one who made you. The necromancer Cosette is close at hand. And we go, her craft may drag him back from hell.
Agreed.
We will gather your friends, and I will take you to see her. The consequences be on all of our heads.
Okay, well, first things first. Lavaline.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Lavaline. All right, would you please roll... this is the first time you have had to be resurrected, right?
Aside from when everyone died in the ship crash.
Oh, okay. So you're going to roll on a D6 and add 2.
Lavaline Crest, this is your life.
Ah. Is your brain on drugs?
6 points of reckoning for you, dear Lavaline.
It's all I get for dying. Doesn't matter that, like, oh, that's good.
What's that?
Nothing. I like it.
I'll find something terrible to do to you, don't worry.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's it. That is your reckoning increase for this encounter.
Yeah, nothing. You didn't do anything else.
That's true. I was gone.
You did sacrifice yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, thinking about doing anything, something prismatically evil, like all the kinds of evil, is not worth it. Or doesn't get you anything. Okay. Just thinking about it.
Okay. I would have.
We're not the mind police.
Those guys are jerks.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Okay. Who talked about us? The mind police?
I'm at 19.
Okay. Yep. So you've triggered your first one. And it has started happening. And it is called Thieving Shadow.
Awesome.
In fact, Martin, while you're sleeping, Lavaline's shadow steals something from you.
Rude!
Okay, do you
steal
have...
that fucking coin.
Pick...
God damn it! Leave his coin alone.
All right.
My best trick.
Let me look at your
it's
inventory
your only...
on the drive.
It's your only trick.
Oh, that's what his trick coin. That's definitely what it steals. That would
no!
be so good.
I can't believe you did that,
fucker.
Thanks a lot, Zemitor.
I'm sorry, Andy. No, hold on.
It's
supposed to be random, so I'll do it random.
Precious to
all right, you. Martin Sirk. Okay, so pepper powder pouch, magic plums. You still have those glamour plums? Those are those. I see those here.
Listen. Yeah, I guess I see. Yeah, I still do. I mean, they're kind of, well...
Yeah, take them.
Bought one.
Just, yeah.
Okay. Roll on a 6, please. Oh, you don't have explosive hemophilia anymore.
Boo.
Swan Abomination. Your inventory is very strange.
6.
No, not you. Lavaline does it. She's doing the stealing. Right.
Oh.
Six.
Oh, shit.
It was meant to be.
Steals your hero crest.
What the fuck?
Oh my god.
Incredible.
All right, so Lavaline's shadow, while Martin is sleeping, just picks the crest and pins it to itself in the shadow realm. It is now out of reach, and no one knows where the hell it went. So while he is in mid-honk shoe, Lavaline's thieving shadow starts to behave very poorly.
Little honk shoe.
Little honk shoe. I mean, Martin's going to legit think he just lost it.
Yep. Yep. All right.
I'm so dumb I lost my shoe.
Centaur's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
You what?
I'm like John C. Reilly's character in Magnolia, who just like drops his gun.
Oh.
Can't find it.
All right, so Valeriana, you get 3 and 7. You get 9 more reckoning.
You could have taken the glamour palms because
nah, you thought it was
more for me.
How does Valeriana feel about being a witch all of a sudden? I feel like that was something that Gwendolyn had like time to contemplate and process, but that happened pretty quick.
I think in classic Val fashion, it felt cool at the time, so she like leaned into it and like didn't think about any consequences. It was like, this has been really fun, like racing on brooms and stuff.
I won one broom race. I'm ready to be a witch for life. Let's do it.
Literally.
Let's go.
Yeah, when's my next threshold?
What did you get to? You got 23 now?
I don't. What do we roll?
24.
I wasn't paying attention. What do we roll? A 6?
No, you didn't die.
Right. We just passed
out. It's just about channeling the, like,
got it.
Dark primal magic. How much did you get? Let me see. 8 more for you, my dear.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
What did I get? 9?
Just,
you did more damage, I think.
Yeah.
Then I'm up to 20. My reckoning.
You've reverted to your human forms. The primal magic manaw that was inside
that was everywhere.
That was in everything. Everywhere and within everything is now less inside of Gwen than it was before.
Fine.
Did Gwen's intervention prevent Valeriana from calling home?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Gwen, you gained flammable. You are now you are now wooden enough that you are flammable. Witches burn. This is known. Fire attacks deal 1 additional essence damage to you. There is a 15% chance if you are hit with fire that you become ignited. All right, Gwen is particularly flammable now, and you can see, like, Val looks, her blonde mullet is definitely looking extra shaggy. Her fingernails are looking extra strong. That curse is ready to burst through another point of weakness just as soon as it possibly can. So, Xenator, you have spent the last 6 hours after you sat outside. Josh gave me this color after we cut and during the break. But Xenator, while he was waiting to hear what was happening in like the birthing grove, was sitting outside leaning against a tree, just chain smoking his pipe. And like, like, you know, Martin was pacing.
Well, Martin paces back and forth. And
paces like a nervous father.
And Otax was, I don't know what Otax was doing. Some fidgeting, I imagine.
Yeah, hunkered down, like just like a boulder. Okay.
Otax is probably drinking.
Now he had to keep his senses sharp, so. All right, Doderfell and Otax are pulling the sleigh with the incapacitated Martin, Lavaline, Val, and Gwen behind them, with Xenator in front and Molly Merrow with a strange ghostly lantern lighting the way through hidden secret passages. She had some private conversation with the other witches, who seemed totally thrown for a loop by what had happened, and equally like confused and upset at Molly Merrow's return and what had happened in the grove and how things had gone astray and how they were almost infiltrated by this evil force. So I think they're just feeling a little rattled. But again, you didn't get the details of that conversation. And after that, Molly just came back out. Or you are ahead of the sleigh with your unconscious companions being pulled behind you, led by Molly Marrow's magic lantern through this hidden ways in the forest. And they're all honk shooing, except Lavaline, who's far too dignified to honk shoe.
And
but every
and
once
dead.
In a while.
And
also, are you revived now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Dead, her body was eventually like resurfaced in a bloom of light, like growing up out of the ground like a white flower. But she hasn't woken up yet. Every once in a while, you catch her shadow doing something that she's not. Like crawling out from underneath her and like going through other people's things or.
Her shadow is a mess.
It definitely kills a few bugs, like as you go by, it, like flicks them out of the air and leaves their little, you know, see their little bodies like falling to the ground. It's not very nice, doesn't appear.
We approach where they are camped for the night. I will let you try to speak with the necromancer in private. I will do my best to keep you concealed from the others, but I can make no promises, only to have your back should things go awry.
Wait, do I know who these people are?
She hasn't really told... I don't think she's told you anything.
Who are the others?
The necromancer is with a group of people. I do not know who they are. They look bedraggled, like they have been fighting their way through the Grimwood for some time. They are. A group of huntsmen with them. I believe they are the same huntsmen that were chasing Queen Lavaline. And there is a demon with them as well, and an old woman. They are a large group now, cleaving together from some combined purpose. I do not know them, though.
They were hunting Lavaline?
I think so. They are the hunters from Deladridon. I recognize the symbols on their outfits, and I think that the one who leads them is Hound, the chief huntsman of Deladridon, who can find anything anywhere.
And she points through the clearing at a group of people sleeping, and you see a woman with terrible scars around her mouth, like it must be from some sort of torture device or something that was viced around her lips and jaw, but has been pulled loose, and she has these like rivet scars, and one of them still has like a chunk of metal in it, and she's leaning against a tree and her eyes are closed, but you get this like strange feeling that she's not asleep, and she's bundled up in thick black cloaks and robes. Even though she looks very small and thin, like of face and hands, her body is kind of bulky from all of this extra like armor and garb that she has like coiled around her like they're for protection. And she, not to the untrained eye, but to you, she oozes black magic just out of every pore. Her skin is porcelain and the shadows seem to coalesce around her. There's something inside of her, a dark, powerful thing. Whereas Gwen collects like a menagerie of beautiful jeweled birds, she has a single black vulture nesting inside of her chest. Okay, so she is sleeping against a tree, and Molly Marrow has cast a spell of silence and sort of like blurring vision around you, so you have some cover, but you still need to approach carefully, obviously.
No time like the present.
Best of luck.
So, am I just going? Or are we all going?
No, they're unconscious.
Can't join the bud.
Oh, Martin isn't, though.
No, he got a sleep whammy put on him, and he hasn't woken up yet.
Oh, right, okay. All right. I will try to sneak into the necromancer's tent.
All right, so would you make an agility difficulty... well, let's see. It would be 7 or... Oh, no, 8. But then you're going to knock 5 off of it for the spell that's on you. So difficulty 3.
Composed?
Yep.
Slight?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I need a 5. 11.
Woo! Right.
So... She has just this black little lean-to set up near a tree, and she seems to be leaning against it, and all of her things are kind of sitting in a cluster around her, like she's built this little nest away from the rest of the group, and it doesn't seem like any of them have any interest in being anywhere near her. You watch for a while, and no one comes over to speak with her or say anything to her, and she just, every once in a while, her eyes like half unlid, and she looks around the camp and then closes her eyes again, and then... A few moments later, you have pad-footed over, so you are behind the tree that she's leaning against and speak to her from around the side of it.
So yeah, I will approach her quietly and... excuse me, Cassetia?
I could have sworn I felt you coming.
I come to seek your aid once again.
How ironic.
Wait, why is that ironic?
Because I'm hunting you down.
Her eyes unlid and they're sort of like violet, silvery, kind of freaky looking.
Hunting's an odd word choice there. You mean you're seeking me?
We're in the woods. We all have knives, and we're on our way to find you, among others. We're all of us looking for someone in your little cadre, fighting our way through the Grimwood past giant spiders and writhing carnivorous trees, and here you come, traipsing along. Have you brought the rest of them?
She says, looking around.
No.
Interesting. Why do you come alone? Have you come to offer yourself up?
Offer myself up?
You don't even know. To your victims, the ones who force me under threat of death to track you down and unmake you, you dead thing I have brought out of the earth. They want me to put you back. Frankly, I think you're fine work. I'd rather leave you above ground. What do you want? You should not be here if you value the life you have left.
A dear friend is... well, I think he's dead.
How dead? Is the question.
He sacrificed himself to secure victory against the Glorious.
Well, then he's very, very dead. Sacrifice is a very dead death. Very hard to recover from heroic sacrifice.
I was told that there's a chance.
Who is it who's dead?
His name is the Cambion.
Oh my, well, yes, then there might be a way to bring him back. You see, he's made of two halves, a devil and a boy. One may be not as dead as the other.
Will you help then?
Are you willing to risk me pulling back the devil by himself, without the human to temper the light?
How likely is that?
About a 50-50, I'd say.
No, we've been doing odds. Great for those odds. Let's do it.
Remember when I rolled that 7?
So one half is dead for sure.
Well, if a heroic sacrifice was made, and if the outcome of the heroic sacrifice stuck, if whatever it was he sacrificed himself to save, protect, or destroy is indeed saved, protected, or destroyed, then yes, for sure. One of his selves is gone at least.
So we're either bringing back the boy or the devil. But we're not bringing back the same Cambion.
Probably not. Or certainly not. The question is whether or not it's something you can live with. If not, I recommend that you make your way back to wherever you came from before my companions find you. The survivors of Abernathy are thirsty for undead blood. But they're not alone. Demon from Forsythia hunts a woman in a red cloak alongside the grandmother of a large, plump witch. And the huntsmen of Deladridorn seek their queen for vengeance of their king. We are a weird and terrifying motley little crew. And I don't know who the ranger is, but he hates you more than anyone else. So I'm to imagine that that's personal, probably family business.
Where's the ranger?
The huge man sleeping over there against the tree, but he's never asleep. Neither am I, but he's never asleep. I always see him stir just like I do.
Can I see who it is?
You see a huge, broad-shouldered shape on the other side of this little, like, sleeping area with a hood pulled down over his face and a thick black beard.
Do I recognize him?
Not at this distance, really. I mean, the armor looks kind of familiar, though. Like, the make. Like, something, like, distant. Like, maybe you know the person who made that armor. I would not go anywhere near him if I were you.
You're not me.
Well, a little bit I am. There's more than a good portion of you that's me.
That's not the same. Let's bring back the Cambion, and then I'll deal with the others.
Okay, here I go, trying to sneak away from my captors. Sneaky, sneaky. And she crawls all around the side of the tree and leaves this strange skin husk version of herself behind that she wetly sort of slides out of and then crawls across the ground towards you in a very inhuman fashion. Her arms like ambulating like a gecko. So where's the dead one? Where's the dead one? And she comes up to the sleigh just as Martin is waking up.
Oh, looked like he recovered on his own.
No.
Interesting, a boy and a devil.
What? What? Where?
That's not the Cambion.
Oh, but it's a boy. It's a devil or something worse.
Well, Zenitor, where are we? What?
We're in the woods.
Yep, that tracks. Where? What happened to Gwen and Val and Lovely?
They're still sleeping.
Oh, yep.
That Gwen tracks. Is even more wooden than she was last time you saw her. And
is it
Val
actually sawing a log?
Yeah, it sounds like an actual log being sawed. And Lavaline has reformed, and other than just like this thin, discolored line along her neck, she looks more or less as you remember her. And then her shadow pokes you in the eye.
Hey.
And it hurts. Oh, and a little bit of blood trickles down out of your tear duct.
Fucking what? Rude.
What was that? What did I do to you? I... okay.
That's a mean one.
Yeah.
Well, not my problem. Oh, here's the dead one.
Who are you?
Cassettia the Necromancer. Sorry. Sorry, I have to.
You have to say it like that?
Yes. Actually, yes, it's in the
it's
bylaws.
A regional dialect.
It's in the bylaws. Oh.
Well,
all right.
Hi, I'm Martin.
I can
charmed,
do
I'm
it.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Charmed. And you? Oh, that's very rude.
Martin.
How dare you say things like that to me?
I'm not saying. I
disgusting filth. Well, yes, I do like carnivals. Well, sure.
Oh,
I don't think it's a good idea for me to go in there.
It's not.
Trixie. But strangely arousing. Very good.
I'm going to go over there.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. So, I can see him, or one of them, in hell. Would you like me to pull him back? It will be quick and ugly.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Flip a coin.
That's heads.
And then suddenly there's this black crackle through her arm, and a second arm writhes underneath her skin, and she plunges her hand into the corpse's mouth, deep into its chest, and grabs onto something in hell and pulls it up. And then there's just a crackle and a flare and an ember in his eyes, and he gasps and sits up, one of his horns completely dissolving off of his head, leaving only one broken spire out of the right side of his temple, and his skin is an ashy white, and his eyes open. Ow! Ow! Hot! So hot! I should have expected it to be hot.
I'm gonna hug him.
Okay, so I think that the gasp of the dead man probably draws Martin and Lavaline and Val and Gwen's attention and pulls them out of their sleep if they were sleeping. Or
I have a wolf now.
Wow, that was awful. Did I go down on my first attempt?
No, wait, I'm awake. Something's different. Something is very different.
What do you remember last?
I cut my heart open, ember flies, and then it was really hot.
You went. Did you go?
You went down on your first attempt.
Fucking what? That sucks so hard.
But you did it.
Yeah, and you're back.
And you killed that Glorious.
Yeah.
Something's different, though. I feel weird. I feel bad.
You're still hot.
Yeah, you look good.
Great, thanks. I feel weak. I feel really weak.
Well, I'm sure coming back from Oblivion is pretty taxing.
Mm. Yeah.
Cassettia said we weren't going to be able to bring both of you back, or both sides of you.
Wait, what? So I'm what?
Oh, it's not the devil, you guys. The devil's, like, way cooler than this.
I think you're a real boy.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's... I need to lie down for a while.
Okay.
So he just lies down in the fetal position and starts, like, sucking his thumb.
Oh, baby.
Alternate Cassettia. And the price?
Xenator makes a uncomfortable, oppressive eye contact with the pale, opaque eyes of Cassettia, and then she beckons for you.
Time for you to fulfill your end of the bargain.
Time for you to get a diaper.
It is time.
Just a moment, Martin. You don't mind watching over the others, do you?
It's okay.
Okay.
I need to do this.
Are you sure you're okay? Oh, all right.
If you have anything to say to him, Martin, now might be the time.
Xenator, I trust that you know what you're doing here. You're gonna come back, right?
It'll work out.
One way
or the other.
Let's not keep them waiting anymore. They've gone a long way to see you.
And then she turns and limps into the dark underbrush. The piper needs to be paid. So Odax is sitting on the back of the sled. Martin, maybe you like catch his glance. He's like, his eyes are downcast and a bead of sweat is actually like rolling like down his right temple. As Xenator follows Cassettia into the woods. And then suddenly you are left all by yourself with just the like,
so there's not... This isn't gonna go well, is it?
So you realize that you are talking to an unconscious Lavaline, a in-and-out, like, twitching Valeriana, and Gwen, who has this thousand-yard stare, and her mouth is open, and she's drooling slightly. And the Cambion just got pulled back from hell and is, like, in the fetal position. So I think at this point, Val and Gwen... and Lavaline sort of come to start to realize, like, what's going on exactly. The last thing, Val, you remember is that Cassettia was, like, elbow deep in the Cambion's mouth, pulling his soul out of hell, and you sort of white it out for a few, like a minute or two there, and so Gwen and Val and Lavaline, you're starting to, like, come back to your senses and realize that you're
guys,
dark.
Guys. Hey, you're fine for now, but Xenator did just go off with that necromancer lady,
he went to pay the piper. It appears.
What does that mean? He's gonna martyr himself. Huh?
It does appear that the survivors of Abernathy have made their way deep into the heart of the Grimwood looking for him. I can only imagine what their motives might be. But I don't think I have to imagine very hard.
Did they seem mad?
I mean, they didn't seem happy. I think Xenator has some, to quote Martin's favorite 50s sitcom, some splaining to do.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew it.
Where is this going?
The question is whether or not they will let him do any explaining at all.
Splaining.
Sorry. Yeah.
The wind blows through the leaves again. Moss comes loose and scatters down onto the ground next to you like spiders.
Do you guys think we should maybe go follow them? We can like keep an eye on them.
Yeah,
and see.
Yeah, we have to get them like okay. Now.
All right. I just didn't know. All right. Well, let's. Yeah, we can maybe go sneak.
Did the wizard give you any instructions about not following him, or he can handle this?
He didn't say not to follow him.
All right,
it's not a no.
Yeah, I mean, I got the vibe that I wasn't welcome, but that hasn't stopped us before.
Yeah, we're never welcome.
That's very true.
I mean, I just think we should go and watch this in case it gets really bad and maybe we can intervene. Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer intervene over interfere, but...
Okay. I have inner fear.
Well.
How are we going to intervene? against an entire... Well, it's not an entire town anymore, is it?
Oh.
Like, too soon.
Some stragglers.
I mean, there's... We can shout, hey, stop that.
Wow.
We can...
Wow.
I mean, we've interrupted lots of rituals and
right.
things before.
Yeah, but I never really put any planning into it.
No mana left. I cannot cast. Our other... very strong spellcaster is about to get murdered. I'm not great with a club unless I am rowing a sleigh on the ground.
That didn't happen. We're not talking about that. That never happened.
You know it.
No one can prove that that happened.
But all I'm saying is I want to go after him and keep an eye on him, but we also are not in fighting shape if something goes wrong.
No, I mean, I'm thinking if something goes wrong, we just distract and extract.
Okay.
You know?
Huh.
What?
Nothing. I just.
Something in your throat?
No, I just. just should have.
Do you need a lozenge?
Should have expected us to stick our noses where they didn't belong.
So we're supposed to just let him die because he said so?
Well, that's
yeah,
how...
Yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot that's how you let things go, Odax.
That's how heroic sacrifices tend to work, ladies and gentlemen.
Homie, don't play that game.
Shit. He means business.
You stay here, hold down the fire, and we'll go figure this out.
Meanwhile, a short distance away... Cassetia is slow. She has a limp. Her body is ravaged and, like, broken and cracked from inside from this dark force that lives inside of her body that is not very gentle to its confines. But that is the force with which she, you know, can pry life from the jaws of death. And so it takes her a minute to limp back to the campsite where the Abernathians and... a group of huntsmen whose colors and markings, like, would be impossible to discern. They're just, like... But they look to be royal huntsmen, hence the fine make of their weapons. Although they are all chimerites. You know, a little mouse, a bird, a bear, and a dog with droopy jowls and, like, flapping ears. There's a woman in the center of the group of survivors who is weaving a spell to knit... flesh back together on a recent wound. It looks like a tree grabbed a man's arm and twisted it, and she's like knitting the flesh back together. Mm. You recognize the spellcraft as like a classic star weave pattern that sort of like rewinds time and fate and stuff in a really small concentrated area. Basically, a rare way to use arcane magic for healing.
Are all these people from Abernathy?
Well, I think that the sort of the center group is from Abernathy, and that group over there is from the Ladradorn, I believe those huntsmen are. I think you know Grandma Nin napping in that hammock back there. She's not alone. I think there's something following in her shadow. Yes, so
We have to posse up to make it through the Grimwood. And there were people looking for others in here as well, and we found ourselves at like purpose. Ah, and that ranger just calls himself Grave. And she points at a huge man on the other side of the clearing with a hood pulled up, kind of like, looks like he's sleeping, leaning against a tree.
It's Aragorn.
He has an enormous, bushy black beard and like thick, muscular arms. And the hilt of the sword at his side glints just ever so slightly in the firelight, looking vaguely familiar to you. And then... shit starts to go down as Calcedia puts her arms out and then steps to the side in this like little stumble limp and then gestures to Xenator, and the woman like,
presenting him like Vanna fucking White.
Yeah, presenting him like a game show contestant, and the Abernathy survivors, their eyes like, you know, the ones that are awake and on watch, like fixate, and you can see their pupils like dilating in the darkness and the firelight, and the woman who leads them with, you know, horrible ravaged black burns along one side of her neck stops what she's doing, her magic like stopping the knitting so suddenly that blood starts to like flow down the man's arm, and then she stands up like grabbing onto her staff.
You've been looking for me.
Her words seem to be, like, caught in her throat.
If I had known, I would have come sooner.
So the tension is so palpable that the other members of like, the Abernathy contingent are starting to, like, wake up, and they think they're under attack at first, so swords come out, and bowstrings are drawn, and suddenly you find yourself, like, with, you know, 20 or so people with weapons drawn and aimed at you.
I'll drop my staff and sword and reach out my hand to her. I mean you no harm.
She looks down at the withered, bony, like calloused hand that's like stretched out towards her across the firelight, and takes a step back, utterly aghast.
Can we talk?
We still can. You still can. We are in the grave minority on that point.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
And so she doesn't look like she knows what to do. She takes a step back, and like her foot breaks a twig behind her, and the man, the huge man leaning against a tree on the other side of the clearing, like his head perks up and he turns, and there isn't even a beat between when he sees you and when he leans forward and puts all of his momentum into a terrifying hurtling lunge towards you. Everyone roll initiative!
God damn it. 12.
14.
11.
8. 8 as well.
What's your speed?
I rolled a 1.
And I did roll a 1 too.
Yeah, 7. Yeah.
Flip a coin.
Roll off. Yeah, 3.
2.
All right, Gwen. In the clearing, there are 20 men and women who seem to have like half lowered their weapons in just total shock at the approach of Xenator, who is standing kind of in the middle of the clearing, reaching his hand out towards this woman. Then there are 10 or so huntsmen with bows and arrows, green cloaks, feathers in their caps, all of them Chimerites, all of them just looking like they are deciding what to do next. Then you see at the back of the glen, Grandma Nin in a hammock, just like peeking her little chipmunk head up, her eyes catching in the firelight. Somehow there's something weird in her eyes, like they're reflecting, the light is reflecting off of something strangely that's inside of her large chipmunk eyes. And Calcedia is just standing behind Xenator, like, watch it. Seems to have washed her hands of the whole affair. And the big man is like,
he's going after,
charging towards him. So he is, yeah, he will take his turn at the end of the round because he's across that distance. And then looks like he is just like out for blood.
I feel like I, meaning Gwen, in the moment would scream like, wait.
All right.
Do it.
So...
And yeah. I don't want to aggro everyone, but I feel like that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And I see all these chimerites, and I'm like, maybe they'll listen to me.
Yeah.
And so instinctively, I just would scream, wait!
So she
first bursts, idea, best idea.
Bursts into the clearing, her arms up, a look of, like, shock and and kind of surprise and fear on her face.
Gwen, no!
Tried to interject herself. Gwen, persona, difficulty, hidden, check.
Great.
It's going to be...
And you know I've put so much effort into
actually,
my persona
just
stat.
Do an undertaking. We'll get some effect at 10 and more at 15.
Oh, thank God. I rolled a 9.
Hey.
My persona score is 4. So that's a 13. And I am going to call on Brave.
Yep.
I'm going to call on Do No Harm. And I am going to call...
Still you still have
it.
Yeah.
I do.
After the unicorn was spared, we all allowed it. Yeah.
And I'm going to call on Empathetic.
Yeah, great.
So that's 13, 15, 17,
perfect.
19.
So... The huntsmen from Deladridorn do not knock their arrows or bows and fire into your body, which is good. The survivors from Abernathy, again, now, like, more shock, more, like, surprise. Like, they look very much like the dog that caught the car. Like, they've been chasing...
So now what do we do with it?
Yeah, they've been chasing after Xenitor literally since the 5th episode of the podcast. So 40-some episodes they've been after him, and now they fucking caught up to him. And they're like, wait, we're not ready. I did not prepare for this. And I didn't expect for him to come to us and
extend his hand in a handshake.
I'm going to kind of snap at Gwen, actually.
Yeah, I think you said, no, Gwen, wait. And so, so he yells at you to...
What are you doing here? I need to do this. They need this.
Listen, you can have your moment, your chat with the people you betrayed. But we have taken too many heavy losses, and we've learned our lesson going off and doing these insane missions alone.
While she's talking, I keep, like, trying to draw her attention to Grandma Nin. And be like,
I see her. I see her.
You die now, demon, says the man charging at you with a sword. Lovely
oh, that's
action.
That's not fair. I'm not a demon.
Okay.
This isn't super helpful, but I'm gonna
go. Oh, God. Oh, okay.
I love a movie.
No,
well, sorry. It's what my character
it's
would
a character.
Do.
Oh,
it's
my
what my
God.
Character
Here
would do.
Here we go.
Matthew Let's hear wouldn't it. Do this.
What
but.
Would your character
oh,
do?
This is not as bad as I'm making it out. I was going to charge forward to try to protect Xenitor.
Like an angry goose?
Hold on. I'm joking. You were going to charge forward?
I was
going to
charge forward, but then I imagine as soon as my eyes land on the Deladridorn
huntsman. Hound in particular.
Yes, I was going to peace out.
All right.
Well, all right. She steps forward. And
that's a fucking trauma response.
As soon as the light hits her eyes and reflects off of the huntsman from Deladridorn, she, like, flaps her wings and disappears into the brush.
Did she just fucking leave?
All right.
One of you has sense.
What the fuck is going on out here?
All right, Xenitor, his foot hits the ground, and then his other foot hits the ground. He's pushing forward towards you. He has about, 80 or so feet to cross before he reaches you, and... Your turn. It's your turn.
I'll turn to the woman. I was hoping you'd hear me out, but so be it. And then I'll turn arms down and walk towards the guy who's charging me.
Holy shit. All right, would you please make a persona check against a hidden difficulty?
Hero's Creed, protect the weak.
Mm-hmm.
Loyal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm torn here.
How in character.
So I'm gonna pass on inspiring and call on pride.
Oh, that's good.
So protect the weak, pride, and loyal.
Nice. Yeah, all are very good. Oh, do you know what that
son of a bitch.
I'm in. You use the facet system so well sometimes, it makes me just adore it. So literally, what he has communicated to all of us is that he is doing this out of a sense of his own personal, like, well-being and how he feels about himself as much as he is his ideals, and that's awesome.
But really. Loyal is to them.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yo, it's mixed. It's just multiple things at once. I love it. All right, let's see it.
I hate it.
18.
So the woman shocks herself, and you hear her mutter in the arcane language, stitch and stick and slow, and she flings her fingers like over her shoulder, and suddenly the man is moving in like half time or a third time. His foot hits the ground and he lifts up, literally sort of hanging in the air. You can see his eyes realize that he's been like his momentum towards his quarry has been truncated, and tears start to stream out from the creases around his eyes. He looks familiar to you, Zenitor. You can't quite place why, but he looks so familiar, and the Brisbane family sword is drawn and gleaming, its ability to sever darkness from light coming towards you. That sword just might be able to deliver you a true death. And the woman turns towards you, having slowed your imminent demise. Speak your peace. These words will be your last.
Well, I gather from context that you're a survivor of Abernathy. If you are to be the last person I speak to, may I know your name?
It looks like she might deny you even that, but then opens her mouth and, like, surprising herself again. Kosa Kalamber.
I cannot do anything to make right the harm that I caused you and everyone else at Abernathy. I know that. I'm thankful that you are giving me the opportunity to say this, and I hope that you will believe me when I say that I wanted, with every fiber of my being, to save the day, to protect the city. But I failed. In my pride, I thought I could control magic that I underestimated, evil that I didn't recognize. I would give anything to take that back. But I can't. All I can do is what I have been doing. Since the Necromancer raised me, put me a part of this team, we're trying to stop the Glorious. The same Glorious that we fought for the first time at Abernathy. The reason I'm doing that is for you. And everyone else. It's for our world. It's for our way of life. It's for me too. But I know I'm just a part of this. And I know how much justice means to you. And so, if this is what you choose, I'll be sad because I hoped to continue to fight. But I'll understand. I'm so sorry.
Okay, and then the twisted time around the ranger named Grave breaks loose. He hugs
Zenitor and everything's fine.
Another step, and you can see tears streaming down his face, blood just like rushing into his ears and his nose as his body completely rebels against him. His emotions twist inside of him, and they jackknife as he lurches forward and lunges for Xenator, his sword arcing out.
I give him my neck.
God damn it.
And break for lunch. No.
Shepherd's pie, anybody?
Yeah, okay, what do we want to have next? Happen next? It's Martin's turn. Martin, it's good. Okay, so it's Martin's turn.
Yes. Yes.
So
no pressure after that speech.
Right, no. I hear it, and then I see, you know, Grave coming towards Xenator here. I'm gonna turn into a log.
Okay.
Because you needed some. You wanted to, you know, more dialogue and
a thick log.
You wanted to dialogue.
Fuck you, Kathy. I appreciate you, Kathy.
Holy fucking shit, Kathy! Get out. I
like that you're getting screamed at, even though it's definitely my fault.
Holy shit. Okay, Martin, your molecules pull tight and twirl and create the fibers and whorls of a wooden timber.
And I turn into a girthy log. Uh-huh. And I want to use my rapid scuttle to kind of...
Holy shit! The sticks and twigs along the bottom of the log scuttle like a nightmare.
I want to shoot in between the steps of Grave to trip him before he gets to Xenator.
Okay.
Holy
you
shit.
You launch outwards. Make a vitality or a strength contest against his strength, and then you can have +2 for as a tool bonus, and then
for
any facets.
For insanity
bonus.
Is it vitality or strength?
Yep, whichever you like.
Cool.
This is so batshit. I love it.
16.
Hey.
Oh, wait. Can I call on weird,
you better.
Erratic, weird, erratic, and
log.
And log.
Call on log.
Yeah, he's already got the +2 for log.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Weird, erratic.
Tool bonus.
Yeah, tool bonus. That's literally how metamorph works. Driven? Yeah. Hell yes.
All right. So that'll bump me up to 22.
The log launches out, but I totally thought you were gonna like put yourself in front of the sword and see how much of a tree he
I'm
can
not
cut
that
through.
Brave.
Yeah.
A shield,
so
no.
Launches
a log,
out
yes.
Between his legs. They hit. You hear a crunch as one of his toes breaks on the fallen timber. He slips forward. There was so much force behind that kick that Martin is actually sent like spinning away he slides forward, his momentum slightly broken, the blade is coming outwards, careening towards Xenator's neck, but Val, it's your turn.
Oh my god, this is such a fucking nightmare.
It's like hot potato. And I'm
yes,
like,
it is.
No!
Oh my god, in heaven.
All right, his momentum has slowed. The attack is not as perfect and clean, but it still looks like it's relatively on target.
Thanks to my classic
into,
log defense.
I also turn into a log. So
oh,
like,
no!
Wait! Wait a minute.
So wait, you just lay down and hold still? Is that what you're telling me?
You're planking.
Oh
you
my
plank?
God.
You just plank?
Mm-hmm. God, planking.
Well, no, I'm
what year was that?
That she's far away, so I'm...
No,
I mean,
you're within move or swoop distance, yeah. Yeah, don't... You can't get out of this position.
Oh, I am? I am? Oh, God.
No, I thought is to cloak swoop, but I'm wondering if she can just try to like banshee onto this ranger and try
sure.
to just like stop his momentum.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think getting in front of
pretty dangerous. Yeah, pretty dangerous. But...
I just don't think that's like. Gonna work not, for whatever reason.
Yeah, that life.
No, but I want
because
I was just thinking like
everybody.
Maybe because I picture is Val just rushing this ranger and like just grabbing onto him with her
absolutely.
Full body, but then the cloak trying to grab. The
yeah, you
sword.
Want totally you. So there is a flutter of red fabric, and suddenly Val is grappling onto his shoulders.
Yes, right.
We're all in this life. Yeah.
Grappling onto his shoulders.
Well, not all of us, because some of us left.
And the cloak snakes around his arm, trying to like wrap up the sword. But everywhere that it touches the edge of the sword, the cloak is split through, pain shooting up Val's side. All right. So you're going to make a... so you're trying to, like, harry him, which... So you can roll...
So cunning.
Cunning or strength.
Yes, okay, good.
Versus his, his strength or vitality.
Okay.
No, more tension. We want more tension.
Brave, wild, and bold.
Perfect.
22.
Wow, nice roll. Would you please roll on a 12 there?
Sure.
Yeah, you don't want to roll too high, though.
Okay. I rolled an 8.
All right, so clinging to his back, crying out no, Grave reaches up behind himself, grabs onto the scruff of Val's neck, and peels her off of him and hurdles her into the campfire, and his blade in the one like sweep as he's falling careens outwards, grazing a few inches into Zenitora's neck, splitting his voice box, severing his jugular and carotid, and passing completely through his neck, but not severing his head completely.
Well, this is going well.
Passes through the other side. Graves stumbles, hits the ground. His eyes lock onto Valeriana's as she, like, lands in the campfire. He goes, no, no! Like, he sees something. Like, he's having, like, a PTSD flashback watching you in the fire, and he reaches out for you, trying to pull you out of the fire, and now there's arrows flying everywhere in the air, and Kazetia like dives underneath a nearby boulder. Grandma Nin leaps up, tangled in the net. Gwyn! Oh, there! No! Wait! Not my Gwyn! And just a barrage of arrows is now flying towards all the whole lot of you, and then...
Can I just jump in?
Sure.
Because I'm crumbling, right?
Yeah, you're... Well, you know what? Actually, well, yes. Yes, you're going down, for
okay.
sure.
I just want just a little bit of color. As I, like, crumple to my knees and then collapse forward, I'm going to once again reach out my hand at Kosa.
Yeah. The last bit before you collapse forward, you maybe, like, grab onto her hand, and you're surprised to find her, like... giving you like a little teeny brief moment of support where it seems like for a second she's gonna keep you from falling before she yanks her hand away from you so hard that you actually are left with her left glove in your hand as
well,
you pitch forward.
That's fucking cold.
And then you see a strange ethereal congealing of the air all around you, and you hear Molly Marrow's voice say, "And return." And she pulls you on a thread of magic, the same spell that she used to whisk you to this location. She uses to yank you back to safety, arrows literally passing through the ephemera of your body, flames disappearing from your shoulders. Martin, you know, careening off into the woods is now careening off into the clearing in the candlewood that you had been sent from. Zenitor pitches forward, you're on all fours, and just dust and moths and worms fall out of the opening in your neck, and you realize that it doesn't even hurt.
Aww.
Molly Marrow's spell that yanked you back into the candlewood on magical tethers caused a huge amount of whiplash, mystical whiplash, and so now a few hours have gone by. Sitting in a beautiful clearing underneath the candle wax dripped boughs of one of the, you know, the harvest hearth area, which is this beautiful, like, multi-hill filled grove. It's where that festival was. And the tenor of the candlewood has changed completely and since the festival came to a crashing, terrifying end. So you've been given, like, a small tent where you have stayed, and Molly Marrow's voice you could hear in, like, soft tones outside. Yes, so Melly Etchbridge, the woman who Molly Marrow now shares a body with, you could hear her voice outside of your tent for a while. And she actually raised her voice a few times. It sounded like she and some of the witches were having some sort of argument. But that has died down. Mother Naramede, one of the women with the, like, elaborate updo, one of the leaders of the coven, has been inside stitching up Xenator's throat very carefully so that the jugular and carotid artery damage didn't seem to really do all that much to him, but the destruction of his voice box and larynx has made it very difficult for him to talk. So the last few, maybe hours, have been spent in, like, relative sort of, like,
silver lining
recovery silent recovery and
silence,
like,
all men
recuperation. And so
not this man.
Nimble.
Wait, can I still do click clack?
Oh my God. Actually, that might be pretty difficult too. I guess you could do it with like a couple of sticks or something.
Yeah.
Do you bleed?
Well, dust and sand.
Like,
he does bleed ichor occasionally when he's cut.
All right,
so she has, like, burned black fingers, or maybe they look like they were frostbitten at one point, or maybe it's just, like, black ink or something. But she is just finished, like, stitching your voice box back together. So everyone has sort of recovered in the tent. You can hear the crackle of firelight from outside. Inside the tent with you are several pumpkins, like gourds with festive carvings on them and strange otherworldly faces with candles poking out every which way, giving off a warm orange glow to the interior of the tent.
Xenator's been, like, kind of, like, lost in his own head the entire time anyway. Like,
I think,
like, a thousand yard stare.
Yeah, I think everybody probably has a bit of after you get that huge adrenaline rush that, like, kind of come down afterwards. You guys have been dealing with a lot recently. All right. So she just finishes, like, with the last stitch and twists it, knots it off, and clips the thread, and then gives you a pat on the shoulder. And without saying anything, Mother Naramede stands up and, like, sort of just glides out of the tent. And when she opens the tent flap, you realize that the heavy fabric must be enchanted in some way, because it is cordoning off a lot of sound, and you hear a sudden, like, uproar of voices and shouts and people shouting over those shouts. And then when the tent flap closes again, suddenly it's very muffled and you're draped back in silence.
Am I alone?
The whole group.
the Cambion
is laying on his side, like, in the fetal position, like, pale and, you know, with one of his horns broken and cracks, like, running down the right side of his face, and he has just this thousand yard stare on, like he's looking through everyone who makes eye contact with him. Otax is not in here right now. Neither are, you know, Doderfell or your other companions, Captain Dark, and those are outside. They seem to be having, discussions with or talking to witches in turn. And so, but it's just the five of you and the Cambion in the tent for right now. So,
do I know how far that clearing was to where we are now?
Not very far as the crow flies. We're talking maybe 5-6 miles or something like that, is your best guess. However, that's several days travel for even the fastest party in the Grimwood. And, you know, they were very bedraggled and had lots of defenses set up and looked like they had been basically hard fought the whole way through the Grimwood. So there may be 5-6 days behind you at the worst.
Do we still have the sleigh? Is that, did it, oh, okay.
No, yep, and all your damaged gear and stuff was all, okay. I know Xenator threw his staff and sword on the ground, but all of your gear was pinned. Anything that was transported to that place via the spell was brought back. So as long as you didn't pick up anything new, then everything would be the same. Oh, you have the glove though. Because you gained it. You still have that young woman's glove.
Okay, so we have a coven of witches outside that is a little displeased with our performance.
get in line.
Okay. We have a Zenitor who... You're hanging in there? Are you okay?
I'm fine, Martin.
Okay, we've got a fine Zenitor. I'm just doing inventory here of where we're at and where we need to... Yeah, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. I mean, do we have a direction? I'm a little disoriented from that.
The plan was to, after the Candlewood, head to the Revelwood and traipse through there pretending to be guests.
Yes. Yeah, I think the fear in our eyes is probably going to give us away. Just a thought.
Might be tricky to pull off that we're there to party. Yeah.
Could you imagine us in this bedraggled state being like, yeah.
We're here to party.
Spring break.
Titties.
All right, so the group is sort of trying to figure out what to do next. And as you start to make a little bit of forward momentum on that, the conversation is cut by...
Sounds good, right?
The three blasts from a cornucopia horn somewhere within the Candlewood.
I'm so sick of horns.
So the tent flap pushes open and you can hear a bit of a scramble outside as people, the witches seem to be like running and like gathering up their things and like dispersing.
I don't mean to alarm anyone, but I've been informed that, it says Captain Dark, poking his little head through the tent flap, but I have been informed that the three blasts from the horn mean that someone has infiltrated the defenses of the Candlewood.
Great.
Apparently that's very difficult to do, but maybe it has something to do with the slight stutter in power that the coven has gone through in the last 6 or 7 hours or so.
Wait, you mean they're being attacked?
I don't think that we're to raise to that level of alarm yet, but someone has infiltrated the Grove who is not welcome or intended to be here. So,
speaking of stutters and power, does anybody have, like, a fully replenishing mana lozenge or something? You know, this old gal's got to have something in her purse. You look like a grandma. You're a witch. There's grandma's always a Werther's candy in there. You got a mana Werther's?
Grandma Polly. Grandmother Polly, the head brewmet mistress of the coven, comes over towards you.
Now, dear, you're a member of the coven, so you're welcome to any mana lozenges that we happen to have.
Thank God. Well, I'll take your most potent mana lozenge, 5 to 10 milligrams.
I don't care what anyone says. I'm happy that you're in the coven, my dear.
Wait, people are not happy that
people are talking shit.
Eat your lozenge.
Yeah, I'll eat my lozenge, but we're going to come back. We're going to circle back to this. Universally liked.
Hold on. Don't drink. It's very caustic,
like,
to the
universally
soul.
Universally liked people don't say that.
Universe. Fuck you. I almost said fuck you, Josh.
I didn't do it.
Josh,
it's not my fault.
She hands you a small mana infused droplet of water in a little glass vial.
This is very caustic to the soul. Do not drink this. No, unless you need to, my dear.
I chugged it. Like,
no!
It's gone. I took the whole
thing. It was in a glass vial. Eat the vial?
I swallowed it.
All right, well, you recover 20 anima.
And 20 reckoning.
And you gain the mana burn affliction.
Okay, my mana's back. Mm-hmm. Or my anima's back.
And you have a one trauma affliction that is really hard to get rid of. So the next time you take a long rest, you don't remove that.
What does it do?
It just lowers your trauma threshold by one.
Okay.
So should we go see
Otap? Just stay here, apparently. Everything is copacetic. The witches are moving to more defensive positions, and we'll have everything sorted out soon. They said that it could be an errant troll or forest giant or something that got through because of this disruptions in magic. Keep on with your conversation.
It's not going to be an errant troll.
Yeah, there's too much qualifying for this to be nothing.
Anyone order DoorDash? Gwen.
Hey, I've got...
No, it wasn't me this time.
I've got wings. Who ordered wings? And then the witches turn him into a snail or something.
No, my wings!
My wings! Oh, the wings are fine.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, so we just hang out here and wait to see what's coming to murder us? Probably you coming to murder you.
Let's gas up the sleigh and get out of here.
I don't... Can we just leave? Like, why not? What the hell are they all doing here? Why is Nin with them?
You ladies are in the coven now, so I assume we have a free pass to come and go as we please, right? That's how that works.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, but do we want to talk to these... Not them, not the folks. We just fled. But do we want to see if the witches in the coven have some insights as to... What the fuck? All of that? What?
You're motioning towards me?
Yeah!
They're not going to know anything about any of that. But it's not like it was confusing.
And it seems like all the people after us are building their own team and teaming up together, because...
It does appear that way.
Yeah, now Grandma Nin is out for blood, and she seemed off. And she's been off for a while, but she seemed even more off. I don't know if anyone else noticed, but her eyes are fucking glassy and weird. Something's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to say anything.
It was messy.
It was.
Yeah.
Look. We can't deal with any of them right now. And it does not behoove us to get distracted.
Because they're too strong as a united front.
The guy in the hood?
With the sword.
You know, the guy who cut your fucking head off almost?
Some survivor from Abernathy.
I don't know. Some guy? I don't know. He went for you so quickly.
They all are coming for me. I destroyed their entire city. They want... justice. They deserve it.
And you were just gonna hand yourself over?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a super dick move, buddy.
Even the devil thinks you were being an asshole.
Well, I was hoping that I would convince them not to actually kill me.
Well, if hopes and smuts were candies and nuts, then we'd all be plump and happy.
I don't think that's how that goes.
It is now!
I've heard it that way.
Look, I'm not running from them.
Clearly, you're running to them.
If I had known, I would have run to them. I destroyed their entire world.
Okay, but I am running from that group, so...
Right, which is why I'm not going back there right now. What I think we need to do is not get distracted by that. We need to finish what we're here for. We need to rescue your daughter... We need to rescue She of Long Hair, and then I will go back to them.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But, I mean, don't you think you can atone and do more good being alive? I mean, I'm trying to not be as antagonistic as our aquatic friend over here.
That's me,
but,
Gwen.
Yes, yeah. Gwen.
No, fuck this guy.
Martin, I believe... that I can do more alive. But I also believe that they need to have the choices as to whether I'm allowed.
Oof. I mean, I guess, yeah, you're the only one who can make that decision. Well, and them.
All right, you hear a crack of a twig from outside the tent, and on the mossy rocks where your tent is, you hear... someone walking towards the tent slowly. Not like trying to hide their approach or anything, but just casually walking.
Should I take a look?
Then a shadowy figure is cast against the tent. Like a fire is behind the figure so that it casts the shadow onto the tent, making it seem big and ominous. You see a wide-brimmed hat
and a long coat
and a finger that has hands too long reaches up towards the tent and like kind of presses on it and just like pushes into the leather a little bit through the tent.
This fucking guy.
Hello there.
All right, we can run now.
Hours later, huffing and puffing, old man Lorwinkle, "Hey, what happened to Elder Sage, or comely gentleman? Old man Lorwinkle caught the telltale scent of lunar afterbirth and silver amniotic fluid on the wind. He couldn't have been far off now. He leaned heavily on his staff, his brittle bones cracking like a crab. Are we going to have a fucking problem again, new guy? But Lorwinkle would be the one with a fucking problem, as it happened.
Sir, you can't interfere, said a voice from behind the old lobster sack. Friedel, the old wet sad blurted out stupidly. How did you find me? The narrator told me where you were, Friedel said. Oh, you traitorous son of a bitch! Oh, that is way worse than anything I did! I'll get you for this, you snake in the grass! The drooping, pot-bellied, dementia-suffering crabcake sputtered out. He could feel that if he tried to back up these dumb words, he'd get his old ass kicked. Stop, this bit is very against regulations, Friedel said. We serve the powers. That is our function. It is the powers themselves that unlocked the sacred curses and began cultivating a new tree of heroes. Lorwinkle was tired, very tired, but not too tired to become angry. They have a right to know. It is too cruel to let them proceed in the dark. I have lost my station and I owe the powers no favors, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the one thing I never did in all the years. In the 1,000 years I watched the loveliest of heroes make the most tragic of mistakes. The wickedest of villains turn their lives around, only to find happy ever afters snatched from their worthy grasp. And so many of these stories I knew the ending. I could have warned them, or advised them. We could have helped them. They could have gotten the good ending. Friedel's thick glasses caught the moonlight, reflecting it in a silver sheet. Suddenly he looked like an insect, his long arms ending in delicately folded hands. A spindly, praying mantis in a well-tailored suit. Lorwinkle, you know. You know the good ending is boring, he said. The happy ending is a lie, a trick. A happy ending is just a story you didn't tell all the way through. The Elder Sage's heart fell. But just this once, Friedel held up a bony finger. Don't. These have been unprecedented times for all of us. The 20th midnight, the Screaming King, the plague of nightmares. Things are not working as intended. We sit on the edge of a cliff above an ocean of trauma they haven't even begun to start processing. We have to get things back to normal. Some kind of normal. Lorwinkle could see the distortion of the mighty, invisible beast that was Friedel's shadow. The custodian was a kind man, and not a violent one, but his shadow would do what was necessary to keep things neat and tidy, even if that meant leaving the former sage of stories as a smear upon the stones and roots. Lorwinkle's magic was exhausted. There wasn't much he could do, even if he wanted to defy the High Will. The sage could hear murmuring, shouting, the crackle of fire through the trees. Ahead, those trees were running with wax. He had been so close to the Candlewood clearing. So close. Friedel frowned, clearly sad to see his friend the sage upset. Come back with me. We are having a small funeral for my brother Gastwick. I'm sure his spirit would be honored to be eulogized by a sage of stories. Gastwick is dead. How did that happen? Lorwinkle found the sensation of being out of the know incredibly alien and disconcerting. The demon Velskaroth tortured him for information on the whereabouts of Valeriana Vacarel. It knew I offered her the sacred curse, and it thought he might know. Gods, how ghastly! Yes, even worse was when it had him contact me to bargain his life for her whereabouts. Lorwinkle's lamp-like eyes widened.
I didn't say anything, sir, Friedel said, his lip quavering. The white tree of heroes will bloom again. The sage's shoulders slumped. That was it. There was no changing his mind, not after that. Not after the price he'd already paid. Very well. I will not go to them. Thank you, sir, Friedel said. The service is held on the family hill. I know the place, the sage replied. Yes, you would, of course, Friedel said, and then he was gone. Lorwinkel sat on a stone in the woods for hours. He knew he could not go back on his word now, knew that they would be watching. He sighed, sad and cold and miserable, feeling there was no way to avoid the
Sultan Dan!
He jumped slightly, shook his head. Did something finish his thought? Was the handsome narrator messing with him again?
Sultan Dan! Sultan Dan!
It came again from the woods. A happy, sprightly voice, saying a strangely dour thing.
Sultan Dan! Sultan Dan! Sultan Dan! Sultan Dan!
The old man watched bemused as a small, baby-sized creature in clothes much too baggy, and judging by the beadwork and natural fibers, had been pilfered from the witches' moon festival nearby. The creature's cheeks were ruddy red from drinking witches' wine, its skin a pale blue covered in a downy fur. His large, round eyes blinked rapidly as it saw the old man.
So thunder?
It asked. Well, well, look at you! Did you wander off from the festival? The sage began to ask, but stopped short when he saw the lock of blue hair around its wrist, a shred of red cloak around its neck, swan feathers in its hair, and that it had fashioned itself a wide-brimmed hat like that of a wizard. Well, well, the old man said with a twinkle in his eye. We seem to have some friends in common.
Certain there.
Yes, of course. Certain doom. Come here, my little one. Perhaps you could carry a message for me.
Sultan Durm,
the creature said again, happily, as it waddled over to him. It smiled and reached into a pack with the words Martin Pack stitched nearly legibly on the side. Then it pulled out a rusty hatchet from within and charged.
Sultan Durm!
Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knudsen.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod. And check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.